Morning, everyone. Happy Resurrection Sunday. It's good to be with you. It's always good to hear that there's a baptism. I think when I came during Christmas time, there was also a baptism, I believe. Yes, which is awesome, you know. It's great to hear that there's some people being baptized regularly here. When I was younger, I never really understood why older people, they didn't like to celebrate their birthdays. Anyone maybe like that here? Maybe you consider yourself on the older end of maybe this room, perhaps. And you're like, yeah, birthdays, yeah, it's okay now, it's okay. To me, when I was younger, birthdays were really great, especially like friends' birthdays. You go to their parties, they have like dinosaur-themed parties, or they have like Pokemon-themed parties. And it was fun, right? But I think for myself, after I reached my 30s, I realized, wow, birthdays, it's okay. I'm not going to go out of my way to arrange one, for myself, or, invite people to come. But, if my family, they're really not kind and celebrated with me this time. They want to do something special for me. I think part of it's also because, right, we get older, our bodies feel older. Right, you reach that age where you're like, oh, I have back pain now. Where if you play sport, you need a few days of recovery. You realize, you need coffee just to function. Right, I don't know if there's any of you guys who need coffee every day, right, every morning. Maybe one for the morning, one for the afternoon. Right, maybe that's some of you guys already in high school or college. Right? Some of us, we used to play sport, like maybe basketball, and we're fine. Now we need to worry about not, busting our knees or tearing our ACL because we got work, right? We got family. We have responsibilities, right? We can't be out. We need to drive and take care of ourselves and other people, right? And I think sometimes maybe this sentiment might also affect how we view other annual events such as like Thanksgiving. I know a lot of people, they are like, they dread Thanksgiving because they don't want to eat like dry turkey, or eat dry turkey for weeks because, a 3-pound, 4-pound turkey can be really large. Some people, they dread Christmas time because they don't like the way it's commercialized, or maybe things like Valentine's Day. I know a couple, friend's friend, they don't celebrate Valentine's because they're like, man, it's just like this commercialized date where you're expected to buy overpriced roses, right? Things like that. And I think for Christians, Easter can also turn into one of those things where it comes really quickly and it goes really quickly, right? Maybe it's your fifth Easter, maybe it's your 10th, your 20th time you celebrated Easter, and maybe it's just like another egg hunt for the kids, for the grandkids, or it can just be another Good Friday service, tagged along with the Easter. Maybe it's just another baptism service. Maybe it's just another very busy weekend, right? Very, very busy weekend. Can Easter mean anything for my life during the rest of the 364 days of the year until Easter comes again? Can it really mean anything? Does it have much value to our lives? Right? And I think what I want to share with you today is that, yes, the answer is yes. Right? Easter, the meaning of Easter, the purpose behind Easter is so valuable. It's so important for every believer and also for those who are seeking. If you're still inquiring about the faith, it is so important for you. And the central beliefs of Easter, it will guide and it will influence the purpose of your life. Okay? It will influence the purpose of your life. It will influence you to live a purpose-risen life. And that's the title of this message, a purpose-risen life. All right, so let's read in 2 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians. I think it might be up also here. Okay, so chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. I'm reading from the ESV here, though. It says, and Paul's writing, "For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Right. So last week I came across a video. I'm not sure if you guys are, some of you guys are familiar with it, but it was a video about a seventh grade boy who said, you know, on Instagram, if he got to what 200,000 followers, he would do whatever the top comment said. I don't know if you guys, any of you guys heard about this, right? I think it's been out for a while, but I only knew about it recently. The top comment was this, okay? It says, this is what he should do, okay? If he got to 200 followers. It says, fly to a small town in Thailand, get accepted by their people, learn the language, train in Muay Thai for a year and a half, fight in a tournament, win the tournament, return to the USA and join the UFC, stay in shape and go undefeated in your weight class, retire and do an interview saying this comment was the reason you fought so hard. Okay? Like, I read this, I'm like, wow, that's kind of crazy. This is the top comment. And this comment, I think it, right now it has like 3.8 million likes, I think. Right? And now he has like way more followers than 200,000. Okay? Way more followers. So, some people are like commenting, oh wow, like he's in big trouble, right? Cuz like his whole like claim to fame and things like that was this promise that he would do whatever the top comment was, right? And he's way in over his head, right? Like this is a huge commitment to, this is your like your whole life, right? You basically promised that you would this is what you would do for your whole life, right? It's not just like, hey, do this for 1 year. No, but it's you need to do this for the rest of your life, and when you finish, you know, do until you retire, it says. Okay, and then but the thing here is that some other people also said this. They said, well, this boy, he's actually really blessed because now he knows his life's purpose, right? He knows what he must do for his life. And I think a lot of people, they don't know their life's purpose. I think a lot of nervous teenagers, they get asked this question a lot, right? You're like, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? When are you going to stop playing video games, watching TV, and YouTube and Instagram, and do something productive with your life so that you can plan something and for your life, you know? Like, when are you going to get responsible and stuff like that? And I think a lot of teenagers, maybe like as you near, you know, senior year, right, college apps, and I think this time of year, you guys are probably getting a lot of letters back, right? You need to start making decisions by like, you know, I don't know, April or May, like early decision and all that stuff, right? You need to decide, you know, what am I going to do? What is my major? What am I going to declare? You know, where am I going to go? Where do I have scholarships? Is this major a good major at this school compared to this major at a different school? Right? You got a lot of stuff to figure out. But I think even people in their 20s, right, or even their 30s can struggle with life and purpose, right? And I think it goes on even to like, you know, that's why there's something called like a midlife crisis, right? It's like, man, I'm like 40s maybe, and like family, have kids, like, man, like, what am I doing? You know, like, if I did this, my life could have been different, you know, whatever that is. All right, so, but this boy, he's blessed because he has purpose in his life, right? So what are you doing with your life? Okay, what are you doing with your life? Have you thought about your 1 year, your 5 year, your 10-year plan? Like, do you know your life's purpose? Right, because our plans go to fulfill that purpose, right? We make plans that make sense to go and fulfill that purpose. So, for example, like, what will your professional career look like? Or how will I earn more money, right, to survive in this economy? Where will I settle down? When will I settle down? When will I get married? Who will I marry? When will I have kids? How many kids will I have? How will I raise my kids? Right, will I own a home one day? How do I survive the layoffs post-COVID? Right? What does retirement look like? Right. Purpose in life. Right? I think all these plans, they show what kind of purpose we have in life. Right? I think these are some of the just a few of the questions that we might be thinking of. But I think the more important questions we should be asking is, where does God fit into all of this? Where does God fit into our plans? Does God have a place in our plans? Do our plans reflect that we are have a God-given, a purpose-risen life? Right? And Paul, he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says that those who have been given life, right, should not live for themselves, but for him, right? It says, right, that one who had died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. It says here that, meaning that all of our days, right, all of our plans, there's supposed to be a guiding light, right? There's supposed to be like a rudder on a ship that points us, that leads us in the right direction. There's supposed to be like, you know, there's like a star in the sky that when you have no compass, right, no GPS, you know that this is the way you should go, right? There's supposed to be something like that. And what is that guide? And Paul, he says here is that it's the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ. Paul says that the love of Christ controls us, right? Some translations it says compels us. The word control, it can also mean to hem in. So like if you have clothing, right, you fold it and then like you sew it, right? So to hem in is to surround so that, you know, like it doesn't, so that whatever is surrounded doesn't go anywhere else, right? That it's kept here, right? The love of Christ, it controls us. There's something about the love of Christ that is able to powerfully move us, right, to live for Christ. Right, to live with a risen purpose, is that we would live for Christ instead of ourselves. And Paul, he goes, it's interesting because he doesn't say, you know, live for Christ or else face punishment. And that's not what he says here. It's not fear of punishment. You know, Paul doesn't say either obey Christ or go to hell. Right, that's not what he says here. And I know that fear of hell is a big motivator for a lot of people, especially like little children. Like there's been so many people, like adults now, that will tell me, oh yeah, like when I was a child or I was at youth camp or a kids camp, and man, like I was like fearing for my life because hell sounded so terrible. So that's why I became a Christian, right? That's why I said the sinner's prayer. Yeah. But Paul says it's not fear of punishment to live for Christ. It's also what? It's also not the reward of heaven. Right? It's not the reward of heaven. Like Chinese people or Asian people, you know, with this heritage, you know, it's all about blessings, right? We pray for blessings, right? We donate money for blessings. We maybe want to do good for blessings, right? But here it says it's not the reward of heaven. I think there are a lot of people that think heaven is the goal for Christians. Heaven is not the goal for Christians, right? Right, to know God is the goal for Christians, right? That God himself is the goal for Christians. God has given us himself. Right? It's also not earthly treasures and blessings, right? As Christians, we do receive blessings. That is true. But it is not the motivating factor for living for God and not for ourselves. Right, but Paul says here, it is the love of Christ that guides our life with purpose. And I think on Good Friday, if you guys had a Good Friday service, that's what it's about, right? It says on Good Friday, we remember the willing sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, where Jesus he takes away the sins of the world. Right? Sin is defined as what? It's defined as missing the mark of holiness, missing the mark of God's perfection, right? Each one of us, we've been found sinful. We've been found lacking. And we deserved what our sins earned, which is death, right? Eternal separation from God. But what Jesus does on Good Friday, right? What he does on the cross is that he took all the sins of the world onto himself, right? All our pride, all of our guilt, our shame, all of our anger, right? Our hatred, our lies, right? All of our lust, everything. Jesus takes it all. And he takes it onto himself, and he dies the penalty of death for us. That's why Paul can say that when one died for all, right, all have died. So when we examine our lives too, whether we are Christians or not, I think we experience the presence of sin, destruction in our lives, right, don't we? Right, we experience that from how we treat one another, right? Maybe it's managing friendships, perhaps. You experience troubles, right? You experience backstabbings or people being unkind to one another, right? Maybe it's work relationships. Maybe it's with your spouse, right? Or maybe your significant other. They can be so incredibly difficult to love and work with sometimes, right? Even though they're so wonderful people. Right, there's jealousy, right? There's a phrase, you know, jealousy doesn't look good on you, right? There's that phrase has meaning, right? Right, but many lives have been ruined by jealousy, whether it's it's money or it's fame or it's popularity or it's constant comparison with people on social media, right? Right, sin has such destructive power. And even for myself, I experienced, you know, the struggle with sin. Like this past week, I had, you know, argued with my parents a lot, you know, fought a lot, you know, argued, and I said a lot of unkind things, right? I made my mom cry, you know, it was really painful, and I felt so guilty, right? So ashamed of that, right? Right? We experience, right, the destructive power of sin, right? The presence of sin in our lives. And in the midst of my failing, you know, this past week, I had to remind myself of the gospel. I have to remind myself of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Tim Keller, he says this about the gospel. He says that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Right? That's the gospel. In our worst moments, when we feel unlovable, when we feel very flawed in ourselves, when we feel hopeless because of our sins, when all of our flaws are exposed, right, God, he still embraces us. Right, this is the love of Christ that Paul talks about. This is the love of Christ that is displayed. That despite all of that, God loves us. God loves us, and Jesus was willing to die for us. Right, David Platt, he says this. He says, God will never love you any less than he does right now, and he will never love you any more than he does right now. That's powerful because you cannot earn more of God's love. Right, the love of God, it's perfect. It is not lacking. It is complete, and it has been given to you already through Jesus Christ. Right, the way it's displayed, right, as we see and hear about all the time during Good Friday and Easter, right, through his death and his resurrection. This is the love of Christ that he has for you. Right? We need to remind ourselves of that. And this should give us comfort, right? And it says here, not only that, but Christ, it says at verse 15 at the end, it says, and let me just read verse 15 again. It says, and he died for all that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. You know, I thought it was interesting. You know, like if it just took out was raised, it would still make sense, right? It would still be like, oh yeah, wow, that's an incredible Bible verse, right? That's powerful. Maybe it could be like my favorite verse or something. But Paul, he writes here, you know, for their sake died and was raised, right? I think that's really interesting. Why is this was raised part so important that it had to be added in, that it was included? Yeah, on Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, or we celebrate that Jesus took away our sins and he was more powerful than death. Right, that death had no hold on him, that death could not keep him in the grave. Right, that sin and death could not overcome who Christ is. But that's what we celebrate during Christmas. During Easter, right? It says the weight of sins, of our sins, could not keep him down. But that's how amazing the resurrection of Jesus is. Right, we celebrate that Jesus, who took our place, he gives us new life. Right, as we sung a lot of these songs that just this morning about, we sing about new life. Right, Jesus is the one who gives us new life. If we read further down in chapter 5, it talks about, you know, being a new creation. Right, in 17 it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Right, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we can have new life. We are a new creation, right? We no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him who for our sake died and was raised, right? And I think one of the beautiful things about baptism services is the opportunity to hear people's testimonies. And, you know, Pastor Ben, he already shared, kind of teased it a little, right? Like, come and hear these, hear the amazing testimony. And I really believe in that. I really believe in that. Because why? Testimonies, it tells this exact story of verse 14 and 15. It tells a person's salvation testimony. It tells how someone who was living for themselves, right, experienced the love of Christ so that they no longer desired to live for themselves, but instead they want to live for Christ. Right, that's that pattern, that central message, it should be part of every person's salvation testimony. Right? Or else it wouldn't make sense for someone to say, yeah, I want to be saved, but I want to live for myself. That those two things are incompatible, right? Incompatible. It wouldn't make sense. And that's why I love salvation testimonies so much. So real. It's like one of the realest things that you can hear about a person's life, right? Is their salvation testimony. Right? Through Jesus' resurrection, we have the opportunity, the chance to live a purpose risen life, right? A life with purpose because of our risen Savior. Right, some people, they like to call it their second birthday. So when I was younger, I heard this, and I always thought that was kind of corny, okay? I'll just be honest. I'm like, oh, this is corny. You know, like you already have a birthday. Like, you just want more, like, cake or something, or you want more, I don't know, you just want, like, an occasion to, like, get people to come to your party or something like that, you know? I always thought it was a little cheesy, a little corny. But, you know, thinking about it a bit more, you know, it starts to make sense to me, at least to me, you know, it starts to make sense. Not that I, you know, do the celebration, but it starts to make sense to me when I hear people say that, you know, and when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that became my second birthday. We've been given new life. We are born again in that moment. Right. And I'd argue, you know, like we talked about, sometimes as we get older, we don't want to celebrate our birthday anymore. And I'd argue that if there's any birthday that you feel like is still worth celebrating, I feel like your spiritual born again day, that's worth it. That's worth it. Because it is a day that you place your faith in Jesus Christ and he gave you new life, right? Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. On December 5th in 2011, I was a college student. It was actually finals week, okay? So I had no business thinking about the gospel. I had no business, like, doing any of that. I should have been, like, studying and focused. But on December 5th, you know, 2011, you know, my friend, he was meeting with me. And he shared the gospel with me. I still remember the exact table we were sitting at. I still remember we were outside, you know, the student union area near the quad, I remember. And he shared the gospel with me that day. You know, it's not like I haven't heard it before. But somehow that day, as he was sharing it, I became to understand that the good news of Jesus Christ. And he asked me to respond to it. And in that moment, I did. I realized, wow, in that moment, you know, I don't want to live for myself anymore. Like, I've done a pretty bad job of ruling my life. You know, I've been very destructive with my life. You know, I realize that I am not perfect, and there's so many things that, you know, I don't want things to go this way anymore. That I need Jesus. I need someone to save me. That's what I realized on that day, right, December 5th, 2011. Right, in that moment, I was born again. I was given new life, right? Because Jesus died and he rose again. Right? Maybe there are some of you today who need a new life that only God can give. Maybe you're tired of the sin, the cycles of sin's destruction in your life. And maybe you are hurting, you are suffering because of those things. And you no longer want those things to continue, Right? That you need a Savior. Today can be that day. Jesus, He wants to be your refuge. Right? Jesus, He loves you very much, as we've seen through the gospel message here. Jesus died for you. And He rose again for you. Jesus loves you very much. Right, today can be the day of your salvation. Right, it can be your second birthday. It can be your spiritual birthday. Right, if you are wondering, questioning, if you want to make a decision, I invite you to speak to any of the leaders of this church and talk to Pastor Ben or the elders, deacons. They might be able to help you. Right, for those who have been following Jesus, maybe you've been following Him for a year, maybe 5 years, 10 years. Is there anything that you want to surrender to the Lord today? Knowing that our lives are not our own, right, but we belong to Christ. Is there anything that you would want to surrender to the Lord today? Right, maybe it's wrestling with your identity, right? Maybe it's questions about your sexuality or gender, things that you want to surrender to the Lord. God, I feel certain ways, but I want to surrender to You. Maybe it's our views towards marriage and dating, perhaps. Maybe, we are very influenced by how the world thinks, right? By our friends, what is appropriate, what is not appropriate, what we want to do with those relationships. But God, I want to surrender to You what Your word says. I want to live and make decisions that would honor You. Right? Maybe it's worldly views of self-worth, perhaps. Maybe it's worldly views of success or ambition. Right? Not that success and ambition and those things are bad, right? But worldly views of those things, right? Maybe it's our anger or our lack of self-control that we need to surrender. Maybe we lack gentleness to one another, or maybe we lack kindness through the words that we speak to one another, even in church, right? Church, is God's family, right? You guys talk about home of Christ, right? It is where Christ is the head, right? And it's a home, But even then, this, church is a place where a lot of people, it can experience great pain from one another, because we're sinful people, right? Like, even people who have been Christians for a long time, even people who are in leadership can cause hurt and pain to one another. No one is, immune from those things, right? Is there anything that we want to surrender to the Lord today? Is there perhaps anything that is hindering you from fully following Him today? Is there anything that we're holding back? Perhaps is there any fear or doubt that you have? Maybe it's shame or guilt that you have that is holding you back from approaching your Heavenly Father. Right? He loves you so much. I just want to remind you, encourage you through God's word today that Jesus, He already paid it all. He already paid it all. Right? The hymn goes, "What sin had left a crimson stain, or He washed it white as snow." Right? This Easter, we are reminded that Jesus, He died and He rose again. And this is the risen Savior that we have, and He gives us new life, that we can have new life, that we live not for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again. And I just want you to know that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places made available through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us, that You have displayed the love of Christ to us, that it is not something that we should take for granted. It is not something that is ineffectual for the rest of this year. But God, knowing that You have given us new life, and this new life that we have, we are a new creation, and that for the rest of this year, for the rest of our lives, God, that the meaning and the purpose behind Easter will always have great significance. We thank You for the power that You give to us with Your Spirit, that we can live for You. I just pray that You would change our hearts, direct our hearts towards You, God, that our whole being, God, would desire You Yourself more than anything else in this world. Not that it wouldn't be fear of hell, fear of punishment, or let it not be the riches and rewards of heaven or the blessings of this earth that we desire You, God, but that we would desire You Yourself personally, because You have given everything to us through Jesus Christ. I pray this in the name of Jesus.